Hi, everybody. This is Isaac, and you're listening to the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture Podcast. Oh, yeah. We're going to take a look at some various topics today because I've got multiple requests for more shows and more content equals more happiness. So we're going to get into it. Who are we mad at today? Is it Roseanne? Is it Morgan Freeman? Is it Fat Mike from NoFX? Yes, the world is definitely embracing snowflake culture. Roseanne just had to cancel her show, it seems. Now, the reason I want to talk about Roseanne is because she has some ties to this conspiracy community. She has vocally expressed her interests and concerns with MKUltra mind control. She's also a known Donald Trump supporter, which for some reason has co-signed the conspiracy community. I've talked about Trump many times in the past. Not a huge fan, but supposedly he's the great messiah for all conspiracy theorists. He's going to drain the swamp and reveal the truth behind the Pizzagate pedophile rings that infiltrate the politicians and Hollywood and all that stuff. Remains yet to be seen, but I as much as I dislike Donald Trump, maybe he'll pull through. Maybe they're all right. Maybe Alex Jones is correct. In fact, Roseanne supposedly, allegedly has some kind of interest in doing a show with InfoWars. I don't know. She said some pretty racist stuff. She made a statement that implied that there were some connections of Planet of the Apes with an African-American person that worked under the Obama administration. I'm not really sure why she did that. Obviously, that's extremely offensive. What's curious to me is that I just did a Twitter survey in which I asked, and I'm going to paraphrase this, something to the effect of, like, I targeted towards Caucasians, white people, and I said, hey, when you're in the car by yourself, do you recite the N-word during songs that have the N-word? Now it was curious to me because the results came back. Oh, hell, let me look it up. Hang on a second. Okay, I'm back. I had to scroll through my Twitter feed. I've been busy the last week talking shit on Twitter. And just a little FYI, I also am guilty of being a drunk Twitterer. That's the way. 50% of my comments are drunk tweets. So if you want to see me at my best, follow me on Twitter at Illuminati Eyes. Okay, so here's the poll I asked. I said, question for white people, do you recite the N-word when rapping along to the song? And I told you I would discuss your responses and give my personal answer. Now, the results came back in, and granted, this wasn't like tons and tons of votes. It was 34 votes, people, which amazed me. I got over a couple thousand followers on Twitter, so low engagement rates. But 68% said yes. They say the N-word when rapping along to the music. Now, my answer is no, I do not. And that's not because I'm on this super high moral ground or anything like that. Because I don't judge people that say it. I've had white friends that say the word, ending in the A, of course. But like, I was never comfortable saying that. I grew up very interested in the, I was part of the hip hop culture. Okay. From the age of like, I don't know, 10 or 11, I remember listening to rap music like NWA, Two Live Crew, DOS FX. I was into all kinds of stuff like that. And, you know, the first time I heard The Chronic, it kind of blew my mind because Dr. Dre, of course, they use the N-word pretty freely throughout the tracks. And I never felt comfortable saying it because of the, you know, inherent white guilt in my body. But I just, you know, obviously the history of the word is not good. And it's not that, you know, and this is where I get torn, because you got this thing that Kendrick Lamar did, okay? And that's what brought this whole idea up. Kendrick Lamar had a concert, and he brought up a Caucasian female on stage and asked her if she could sing along to the song. She said, yeah, I'm your biggest fan, whatever, whatever. They did it, and then sure enough, you know, it drops multiple N-bombs. She vocalized the word that shall remain unsaid, and he stopped the show because everyone was booing and said, hey, you can't say that word, and whatever. That was the gist of it. But, like, it's messed up because he was obviously setting this girl up. I mean, he knew that those words were coming up. Or maybe he was okay with it, and it was only when the crowd started booing that he decided he would have to do something about it. Either way, he was setting this girl up for failure. Now, I don't know what she was supposed to do, not say that word. I wouldn't have, but again, you know, different strokes. So, where's I going with this? The survey results. 68% said yes. That means a lot of white people are saying the word casually in accordance with the art, in accordance with the song. And I'm not necessarily opposed to that. I just don't do it because the reason I don't do it is because I don't want to get too comfortable saying the word and having it somehow erroneously slip out in the wrong company. Okay. I don't want any kind of misperception of it. Okay. So I think even if it's in the song, even if it's the artistic vision of that rapper, I don't want to get too comfortable saying it. Now, when other white people say it, like, I don't take offense per se, but, like, it's not my place to get offended by it. But it raises an interesting sort of creepy, crawly feeling. And I think that Kendrick Lamar's little viral video of him and this white girl rapping should open up some conversation about it, but that's not really happening. So we're going to have it right here. No, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is here, because I live in the state of Utah, not known for being the most progressively forward sort of place. And around here, there are these places where they'll take films, or at least there were. I don't know if there are anymore. They would take films and they would edit out, like, violent scenes or sexual scenes or bad words. Because there was a demand for that, apparently. I'm going to say it was people of the LDS faith that were into this sort of thing, but I'm not going to limit it to that. Maybe not, you know. It's not like Protestant Christians or Baptist or whatever wouldn't be into this kind of thing too, right? I grew up in a Protestant sort of church, and it was frowned upon to watch any movie because those movies were always, you know, under the same umbrella group that would make money. So it's like, the idea is that you're perpetuating this sort of thing. Okay. And I'm opposed to that. I think you got to keep the art intact, whether or not you agree with it or disagree with it. It's not for you to make that call. The artist made this thing. And if you do not like that, then do not be a part of that. Take it or leave it. You can't filter it out. So again, that ties me back to the question. Should white people be allowed to say the N-word if they're reciting the song? Obviously, there's a context issue here, right? The girl on stage at Kendrick Lamar wasn't using it in a derogatory term to put down, you know, African Americans. So should she be allowed to say it? Is there a contextual basis? If we're at a college and there's a course and they're having a dissertation on the N-word, should they be able to pronunciate it then? I don't see the problem with that either. I mean, it's just a word, right? But it's weird. There's a weird sort of taboo for it, and I get it. I understand why it's there. But I found it very interesting. And the reason all of this matters is because if you look back at an article I wrote, I think it was about 2 years ago, about Helter Skelter, there's all these symbols and ideas and phrases that suggest that they, the control group, the Illuminati, are trying to perpetuate a race war. Now, whether or not the actual breakout war happens or not, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen. I hope it doesn't. But I don't know that it matters, because all of it is a divisive strategy to either distract us or keep us separated instead of worrying about what's really going on with the big power moves by the elites, you know? Now, when Roseanne Barr alludes that an African-American woman looks like she's from the Planet of the Apes, I mean, that's... I don't know. There's no way I'm defending that. I didn't watch Roseanne's show anyways. I could care less if her show got canceled. But it's interesting because her show immediately got canceled. And it goes to show that we are in the snowflake apocalypse here. And now, I'm not saying that she shouldn't be reprimanded for that or make the public apology. I mean, that's a pretty offensive thing. She should have felt like doing that anyways. I think she's one of these kind of like activist type people. Maybe, I don't know. I don't really follow her that much. But what was curious to me is that today, Fat Mike from NoFX, and for those of you who aren't familiar, that's a punk rock band. I grew up listening to them as well. He made a statement about, or his bandmates made a statement about how, you know, in Vegas, they said, I guess you're only getting shot in Vegas if you're a country band. I mean, that sucked. At least they were country fans and not punk rock fans. Now, he said that, and it was Fat Mike, actually, that said that, and immediately they lost a sponsor for some music festival going on out there. But like, and then he provided this super intense apology and, oh, I can't sleep and we're all embarrassed. And it blows my mind because when I saw that there was a backlash about the quote, I thought, this is NoFX. They're totally not apologizing for this. This is punk rock. You know, Fat Mike, he walks around in a dress and painted fingernails all the time. Like, there's just no way. And sure enough, the apology came flowing out. And I'm not saying he shouldn't apologize, whatever. I mean, is it an insensitive comment? Sure. I don't know. At what point do we draw the line, though? I mean, Alex Jones is getting sued for comments about the Sandy Hook shooting and the kids being fake crisis actors and all that. Which, again, like, insensitive? Absolutely. Wrong? Probably. Should we be, you know, punishing these people at the levels that they're getting punished for saying words? I don't know. I don't think so. What I'm worried about is... a continuation of my recent podcast where I was talking about the First Amendment being under attack more so than the Second Amendment. It seems to me, if I was to engage the paranoid side of my brain, which encompasses both halves of my brain, you've got this path we're going down where people say the wrong thing and everyone's triggered and the public apologies immediately have to come out and people get punished like NoFX. They get punished by losing their sponsor. Now, originally I thought, you know, punk rock, man, they don't care about capitalism. They don't care about sponsors and money. They don't care about hurting feelings. That's the punk rock I listened to growing up. So for them to apologize, I feel like it's more of a reaction to them losing sponsors. It's all about the money, right? I mean, that's one of the reasons why Roseanne probably lost her show, is because, I don't know if it's ABC or NBC or whoever her owners are over there, they're afraid of losing sponsors. Because these sponsors will pull out. And that's what happened on YouTube, by the way, too. YouTube sponsors got upset that YouTube just sort of generically put out companies' ads along with any video. That's why there was such a fallout with my channel, because, which I'd still upload videos, by the way, and I'm not making $5,000 a month like those liars on that article I talked about a few weeks ago. I don't know how that's fake news. It's fake news. But like they won't play ads on controversial videos because the company says, hey, look, I don't want my ad playing with this guy talking about Sandy Hook kids or fake deaths and crisis actors. So like, I get it kind of, but like that's essentially a fine. Okay. Like NOFX getting their funding, their sponsorship removed is affecting their wallet. And that's pretty much no different than a fine, okay? That's what the NFL is doing. They just passed some kind of ruling about people kneeling, the players kneeling for the national anthem. Now they're going to give fines out to the players that don't stand up. Again, it's in their right to. It's just a private organization. But they're setting a precedent to make it acceptable. And eventually, given that we're living in an oligarchy already, corporate-owned America, it will become first frowned upon, then fined for saying certain subversive things. And that's how they'll take the First Amendment away. This is how they're going to do it. Snowflake culture and Twitter. Woke levels over the top. Woke level 2000. In fact, if people are so worried about the kids, I'm talking about like the Sandy Hook thing with Alex Jones, we should maybe look to see what happened to those 1,500 undocumented kids that we, supposedly lost track of. Because if you look at that Franklin cover-up scandal, which I'm still listening to, by the way, someone sent me a link to Sword and Scale. That's a podcast. That's probably a much higher quality than this one you're listening to. No, but they have an episode about the Franklin cover-up. It's actually really good. I'm like a quarter of the way through it. But there's this, it's the same thing we see over and over, child abuse, these underground rings of people. And that's what bugs me, and that's what takes me back to this whole helter-skelter thing. It's like they want to keep us distracted with petty arguments amongst each other. Meanwhile, everyone in Hollywood and D.C. are doing the most horrific things possible. And they keep getting busted for it, too. And then they keep distracting us with silly shit. In fact, someone on Twitter posted an interesting idea that Allison Mack, the actress from Smallville, who was in that Nexium group that was being used by Keith Rainier, allegedly, to get sex slaves for him in that pyramid scheme. I believe I called it a sexual Costco. That was on a podcast in mid-May. If you haven't heard it yet, please do. It's on Nexium. Smallville is still playing reruns, but Roseanne gets taken off the air because of a tweet. Meanwhile, this chick's branding women with this magical sigil for Keith Rainier, supposedly, allegedly. And while we're in the realm of mass shooters, on that Santa Fe shooter, there's even more strangeness that I found. Because you know how he had the term Cthulhu on his Facebook post or Instagram or whatever it was. It's interesting because there's various articles online that from the scientific community that suggests that aliens would be depicted looking like big octopuses, which is what Cthulhu looks like. You know, that's just a weird connection there that would kind of all come out around the same time. And then also, he had posted a picture of himself with a musician called Perturbator. I hadn't heard of this before, but Perturbator is kind of like an 80s synth EDM kind of techno sound. But watching the videos, I got linked up with another similar sounding genre artist named Carpenter Brute. And Carpenter Brute had a live performance of Maniac. You know, the 80s song, Maniac. I won't subject you to my singing. But on the background flashing, you see lots of like sort of like guns and knives and like really violent imagery. So it seems to me that like while music doesn't necessarily program people to kill, I think it helps. I don't think it hurts. I don't think it detracts these mentally disturbed people from doing it. You know, I don't think like Columbine was caused by Marilyn Manson per se, but it helped. I think music and film and art in general has a much deeper impact on the subconscious than people give it credit for. Because like they know the power of this stuff, but then when something horrific happens, then they distance themselves from it. And oh, you know, Marilyn Manson had nothing to do with this. How dare you? And it's like, well, not really, but he certainly helped the matter. He helped inspire them, we'll say. Now, I'm not saying we should ban Marilyn Manson or Carpenter Brute or Perturbator. Actually, I dig those. I dig the Carpenter Brute stuff. I've been listening to a lot of that stuff lately. I don't know if it's a male or a female. Anyways. But I'm just saying, like, if you've got mentally disturbed people and they obsess over this kind of music or imagery, it might have negative effects. Let's just be honest about it. That's just the price we pay for a free society. And you gotta let it go. Gotta let it be. I finished the documentary series on Netflix called Wild Wild Country. I talked about that in the past. It is a show about this cult up in Oregon. And it was actually a pretty lame series. I'm usually into these kind of cult shows, but this one got stretched into way, way too many episodes. There was no crazy apocalyptic ending, which is really sad for a cult series like that. To me, it's actually a tale about alien psyops. That's right. It's you can't go you can't go too deep right away. That was the lesson that they learned. Okay, the people in the town that the Rajneeshis moved into. Well, let me tell you. I'll give you the short version. There's this sort of Indian guru guy who influenced a bunch of followers that he was somewhat godlike. They moved into a town in Oregon, bought it, renamed it Rajneesh or something to that effect. And it was kind of like a farmer town before, or the town right next to it was like kind of rural, kind of retired sort of farmingville sort of thing. And the people obviously didn't like this sort of new age guru coming in. And the people weren't ready for it, so they fought back. And eventually they got him out of town, okay? So the reason I call it an alien psyop is because you can't blow their minds, okay? And get them on board. You got to chip away. You got to use predictive programming and implant certain symbols, messages, and themes in the films before you do it. Example. The Roswell thing happened in 1947. In the 60s, the Brookings Report suggested that alien disclosure would cause a breakdown in society and the structures of like religion and church. It's too much. It was too much too soon. So for the last 60 years, they've been showing us aliens in films, good aliens, bad aliens, all kinds of aliens. with the idea that they'll give us disclosure in the near future. Okay? People are more prepared to hear that aliens are here. And we're not going to talk about aliens being demonic deceptions yet. But the recent episode of Ancient Aliens actually talked about this. It was an episode called The Alien Protocols. And they were talking about how we need to prepare for war in space and set up bases on the moon and Europa, which is curious because Europa plays out in the plot of Arthur C. Clarke's 2001 series, the books. Because in the books, that's where the alien monoliths are. And anyways, in the show, they cite this 1999 study by NASA that was, again, sort of similar to that Brookings report from 1960, where they were studying the idea of alien disclosure and evaluating the impact it would have on religion. Now, I pulled a quote out here. It says, "For many people, religion is a useful, adaptive tool, and discovery of extraterrestrial life may stimulate a worldwide resurgence in religious activity. In the actual event of encountering extraterrestrial life, some of the needs of humanity as a whole may require the kind of non-scientific solutions provided by religion." So here you see the idea that they think it'll actually strengthen religious beliefs. Could it be that 40 years of predictive programming in films have completely changed the attitude towards aliens by the masses? Are people more willing to accept that they exist? You know, that Brookings report in 1960 was also funded by NASA. And to reference my book, The Dark Path, a book some say is the greatest book ever written. Other people say I should go fuck myself. And they don't like the book. I read a good review of it, but I also read a bad review of it recently. But anyways, in the book, I talk about ancient aliens and the alien agenda and NASA and NASA's roots. And again, we talk a lot about Jack Parsons, which I'm going to do another complete episode on Jack Parsons. I'm waiting for a book to come in here about Marjorie Cameron because I want to confirm some things in the book that I wasn't able to confirm online. I want to confirm it in the book itself. Old-fashioned paperback. But NASA funded all this stuff, all this study into aliens and the impact of disclosure, because NASA is obsessed with occult sciences and Jack Parsons, Wernher von Braun, Konstantin Tsiolkovsky. All these people were into this idea of a global consciousness, panpsychism, all these sort of ideas that destroy the traditional notion of Christianity. Right or wrong, I'm not here to tell you what's right or wrong. I'm just here to tell you the truth. And what makes it sketchy to me is that no one else is talking about this. They're going to slippery slope us into alien / demon worship. Believe that. In fact, at the Met Museum, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, that is, there is a rooftop garden commission on display until October 28th, 2018. It's called We Come in Peace by an artist named Huma Baba. I'm sure I'm butchering the name. Pakistani artist. And she's got this alien with boobs and someone bowing down to it. And I watched the video where they interview her, and you can see when they zoom in, and I'll upload pictures somewhere somehow. They zoom in on this, the alien that has like five heads and boobs, and you can see very clearly there are inverted pentagrams and inverted crosses on the alien. And it's curious because this thing, it's the Baphomet. It's got boobs. It looks kind of masculine in nature. I don't know. Is that sexist? I don't know. It looks like a sort of Baphomet-esque. It might be androgynous. It could be male, could be female. It's definitely got boobs, which is very Baphomet-y. Okay. And what's curious is in the interview, she says that she's always been interested in giants because these alien statues are like, they're huge. And that reminds me of the Nephilim, the giants, the offspring of the fallen angels, the aliens, the demons, whatever they were called. The fallen angels that came and mated with the women, created the giant race. So again, it's just, it's interesting, our embracing of alien culture. And in a sort of unrelated side note, I have not seen the new Star Wars film Solo yet, but I did see who, by the way, I've heard previously, I said something about Childish Gambino or Donald Glover, who plays Lando in the film. I guess he makes some pansexual comment. Now I'm being told that it's not quite as panny as they thought originally. Again, I haven't seen it yet. I'll let you know. I'll watch it someday, give you the verdict. But there is a character named Moloch in Star Wars now. Shout out to Neil. Let me know about that. But, you know, Moloch, obviously, that ties us into the ancient pagan deity. Now, Moloch comes up often because he's the deity of the, you know, the Mesopotamian Canaanite religions that they were burning and sacrificing children to. Supposedly, it went underground and continues to this day. I made a sort of argument for that in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, the hip-hop conspiracy book, because supposedly the idea of Illuminati blood sacrifice continues. And we see this with things like Bohemian Grove and the cremation of care ceremony, where they sacrifice in effigy a child to this big giant owl, which would be Minerva, not Moloch. Common misconception you'll hear many places. I made the mistake many, many moons ago as well, calling it Moloch. And look, I don't know your knowledge level, so I gotta go in deep sometimes with these topics, because some of the feedback I've got is that we talk about things and newer people to the red pill territory are unfamiliar with what we're talking about. So I have to play this balancing game of telling you something you've heard a million times already versus helping people understand what we're talking about so we don't sound crazy. I've got one more topic I want to cover real quick. I saw Deadpool 2, and I was curious because I kind of thought we were going to go into the pansexual territory, because in the comic, Deadpool is in fact a pansexual, meaning he is attracted to people of all sexes, genders, identities, so on and so forth. Didn't really happen in the film, to be honest. However, there were many references to the deification of this superhero. There were many references to God throughout the film. I was trying to turn the brightness of my phone down to take notes frantically, but so I got down a few of them, but I got to go back in and watch it again. I'm going to take a pen and paper with me, though, because I got yelled at once already for taking notes during Alien Covenant. It was during the scene where it was right at the end when, I don't know the name of the characters, totally escapes me. When, I think his name is David, the robot goes to kiss another dude. And they were like leaning in for the kiss. And I was like taping notes on my phone. And this guy looked over, told me to take it outside or whatever. I don't know, yelled at me something. I was like, whoa, okay. So people don't like that. So don't do that. So I got to take a pen and pad in, but I wrote down a couple on my phone. So if you go to watch Deadpool 2, watch for this. They at the bar where he talks to TJ Miller's character, the bartender. In the first film, you don't see this, at least that I recall. But in the second film, you see that there are two giant neon crosses on the wall. Okay. Not a huge deal, but considering the many, many times that Deadpool's referenced as Christ. For instance, at the bar, the bartender asks, what is selfless mean? And Deadpool says, Jesus Christ, you know, because he's referring to himself being selfless. There's a few more mentions. Again, I don't have them written down. And then at the end, he says, I don't want to give away anything because I know it's still new out in the theaters. But Deadpool says he's God, essentially. That's all I'm going to say about that. But again, I'm going to watch it again. It was actually pretty good. But and I think it's because Deadpool's the only relatable superhero. I think that you watch other superheroes like, I don't know, Superman or whatever, and they're unrelatable because they're not very human. They don't make mistakes and say and do the wrong things and regret anything. So I think that's why Deadpool makes for a good superhero movie, in my opinion. All right, I've got actually a lot more to talk about. I'm going to break this up because I am out of time for today. But stay tuned for the future shows. We're going to talk about Beyonce and Katy Perry becoming, they're buying up religious centers. Smokey the fake news bear. I know, it sounds crazy, right? You probably already think I'm insane, but that's okay. That's okay. You gotta find the boundaries, find the peripheries of sanity. And I'm here to find the edge, man. Anyways, I got a lot more to talk about. I'm sure more people will be, saying offensive things and doing offensive things. But for now, that will do it. We're out of time. I want to thank you personally, from me to you. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for the reviews on iTunes and Amazon and so on and so forth. I really do appreciate all the stuff. I know it's like takes effort on your part to leave the reviews, so like it means a lot to me. I say it all the time because I mean it all the time. And I got a new sign-off, by the way. A new and improved sign-off. And it goes a little something like this. Give your best to those who deserve your best. Okay, talk to you later.